Where's the sound?
Oh.
Where's the sound?
I'm lazy tonight. I'm lazy.
That's okay.
It's a long day.
It has been a long day. Hi, everybody. I'm Simca Fisher, and this is my podcast with my jingly, jingly husband.
It's just the ice in my hooch.
It's just the ice. I did not know you had a hooch. All this time we've been married, and this is the first I'm hearing.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that we have a sponsor for today's podcast.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Who is it?
Today's podcast has been brought to you by Nut Cheese. I have recently discovered that Nut Cheese is actually kind of good.
I've been trying to tell you.
Well, I mean, I don't have a joke. It's
plant based
cashew based
spread.
Yep.
Cashews. And it's fermented cashew spread.
Is it fermented?
Yeah. There's a,
okay. Because it's one of those things where you don't really know what kind of food it is that you're eating. It's sort of like hummus, and it's sort of like cream cheese, and it's very creamy, isn't it? Yeah.
Cheese is quite creamy and salty.
And it sponsors.
And it does. The best is the Italian flavored.
Okay.
Thanks, Luigi.
I'll keep that in mind. Oh, that joke did not even look good on paper, I'll tell you that. Well, speaking of things that don't look good on paper, we were thinking, you know, Valentine's Day is right around the corner. I'm warning you. It's right around the corner.
Can I buy you flowers?
Yes, for crying out loud, buy me flowers. What is the matter with you?
I don't know.
Okay. And we were thinking that, you know, Damien used to do a feature on my blog, which was...
No, I did not.
Yeah,
that's
you did.
A lie.
Okay. Well, somebody else named Damien Fisher used
nope,
to do...
No,
Damien. Somebody used to do a feature on my blog, and it was by a guy called The Jerk. And every once in a while, my mother...
I don't know why people
would ask me, who is that terrible person who does the feature on your blog? And I didn't know it was just the Jerk, and that was his name. And he used to do these movie reviews, which was there a name for them? I mean, if you were to ask the Jerk, would he know?
They were just called.
Yeah, it was just movie. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
just always, movie reviews.
I mean, whoever it was would do these, like only the best movies, right?
I think yeah.
Like
yeah.
Zardoz.
Zardoz was not allowed.
What? That's not true.
It was too crude. And this was at a time when you were still had associations with the crudy press.
I was still trying not to get fired from various places.
Yes, exactly. And I took care of that. I mean,
well, anyway, be that. Well, but the point is, we had always planned to do a joint project. Well, not me and the Jerk, but me and you, Damien.
I don't know if I ever agreed to this.
Well, you know, there's a fine line between never agreeing to something and just doing it anyway, because...
20 years later, you're right.
Exactly. So, we never got around to reviewing or even watching the great epic movie of our age, Fireproof, which is perfect for Valentine's Day.
Is that the one with the Baldwin brother and Kurt Russell and Robert De Niro?
I'm pretty sure.
And they're firefighters.
You were asking the wrong... I can see that you're leading up to a joke here, but I am the wrong person to be on the other end of this joke. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
It wasn't that one.
Is it the one with...
I don't think it
had... John Wayne blows up stuff?
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
It was Baldwin free, as far as I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rats.
I know. But anyway, so we were thinking that it would be... Oops. It would be fun to do... Sorry, diabetes alarm. No problem. Just a little diabetes. We could just press the button and make it go away.
That's how it works.
That's basically how it works. We were thinking of possibly live podcasting Fireproof. I don't know if that's something that anybody except me thinks is a good idea. But the way it would work is that we would watch the movie probably a couple of times because we're this dedicated to our phony baloney jobs. And... sort of a riff tracks kind of thing. And then if on Valentine's Day, you and your beloved wanted to watch Fireproof, you could watch it along with us.
Good God. What is the matter with you people? Why would you do that?
I don't really feel like I can blame this on anybody because number one, I'm the one that's saying to it. And number two, nobody is listening.
I know.
Every once in a while, I nerve myself up and I go to the Patreon page and I find out how many patrons we've lost. And they have these exit surveys that say why they've left. And it's like, you're terrible. Like, well, I know that, but you only gave me $1.
So what we're saying is give more.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so yes, no, fireproof, let us know. Who knows? Or if you have some other idea.
I'm willing to do this, but we need to need to make a contingent.
Yeah.
On like, and I guess we need to publicize this a little bit more widely than just talking about it on the podcast. We know no one listens to. But I think
is it like when the priest yells at you because nobody goes to mass anymore? And you're like, yeah, but I'm here.
But I'm here. I think if we do this, it's got to be contingent on getting so many new patrons. Now, I think it's got to be a substantial number. What do you think
a substantial number to you?
Well, you had mentioned earlier when we first talked about this, 5.
Yeah. To me, 5 is a substantial number.
You 5. Know what? But your average patron gives like $1 a month, right? So you're talking about watching Fireproof with Kirk Cameron.
Oh, you do know what movie I'm talking about.
Twice for $5 a month.
Okay, but how are you going to spend your time otherwise is the question.
I think
we need to move along here. I really do.
I'm just saying that's like $1.25 a week.
Oh. But you're
for
a journalist.
For 4 hours of Kirk Cameron. 4 hours of that guy.
Anyway, well, the main point that I wanted to make was that we're working on becoming more structured and less giggly. At least I am. Because apparently, you know, I don't know. That's what people want. I don't know. So we watch a lot of movies and we have a lot of opinions on them. In fact, so that's going to be one of our regular features.
We've got 2 movies to talk about today.
We do. We have at least 2 movies to talk about today. But first, Damien, we have another feature, a recurring feature.
Oh, no.
I tell you, a recurring feature. Are you ready for it?
Did we prep this?
Yeah. And this is something.
I don't remember this.
We'll just sit back and listen then.
All right.
You know how to. It's something that I didn't talk about on Facebook. I want everybody to know this is fresh material. Woo-hoo. Here. Okay, so we're in the car. Oh, the feature. I'm going to have to think of a name, but it's currently tentatively named "Kid Story of the Week," which is not very snappy, but the story is pretty good.
We could probably be more specific. Corey's terrible behavior this week.
Okay. All right. She is kind of the main kid at the moment because she's
Fisher's held hostage.
Yeah. Day 700, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're driving along. She was actually being really good this day. This was a couple of days ago. She was singing along and she was singing in just a nonsense language and nonsense words. And she was singing Christmas songs with nonsense words. And she's going on and going on and going on. We're going, you know, mile after mile and mile. And she finally shouts out, "Sing with me, pooperellas." We're like, hey, you can't call us pooperellas. Right. And she was like genuinely astonished that we were offended that she had called
she's
us pooperellas.
She's so rude to people.
She's the rudest person I've ever met in my life. And then it turns out that she actually knows, she has an idea of what a pooperella is. Do you know what a pooperella is? I'll tell you, a pooperella is a monkey that is made out of poop. And at first, I was even more offended. But then I realized that considering she sees us all as monkeys made out of poop, she's actually fairly civil and courteous to us.
So should I tell my terrible Corey story of the week?
Sure.
I'm in the kitchen.
Is it about poop, though?
It's about butts.
Okay.
I'm in the kitchen doing stuff, hiding from the kids, and I hear Corey say to Benny, "You smell like daddy." And Benny shouts, "Get your head out of my butt." What the heck?
That kind of thing is like way more demoralizing than it ought to be. Do you remember that novel?
Shower every damn day.
I know you don't smell like monkey or butt or poop or anything like that, Damien. What was that? What was that book of the poor novelist that he had gone to? He knew
the Information.
The Information
by that Martin Amis. If you ever want to feel bad and laugh while you're doing it,
yeah, and then just mainly go back to feeling bad. Yeah. So he has this friend who's just a complete terrible hack, and everybody loves him, and he's terribly successful, and he's always writing bestsellers, and he is a novelist. He's right. He's a genius. He's brilliant. He has all this promise and everything. You know, he doesn't write very much because he's, you know, cripplingly depressed and has made a hash of his personal life and everything. And he's divorced and he's got his two little.
That's the part of the plot is his marriage breaks up.
Oh, I know. I read it a long time ago. Yeah. And one of his little kids says, tells him that he smells like poop, and he just completely loses it and smacks the kid. Because he has been sort of feeling all along like the that is basically what the whole universe has been saying to him all along. He does apologize so that he feels bad about it afterwards. Anyway, that's the news from the world of Pooperella. Another thing that I thought would
sing
be,
with me, Pooperellas.
Sing with me, Pooperellas. I have a little bit of advice for everybody. Because this is because the one thing that I love more than anything in the world, other than sitting down with a nice drink, is telling people what to do. Right?
We all enjoy that.
Can you confirm? Okay.
Yes, I enjoy being told what to do by you.
Okay, cool. Awesome. My advice for everybody for this week is to try quick pickling something. Because we used
sounds
to.
Sounds kind of dirty.
No, come on. It certainly does not. We make quick pickles all the time now because I discovered that I always assumed that if you were going to pickle something, first of all, it was going to take, you know, 3 weeks or something to pickle something. And second of all, that you were going to have to sterilize everything and you were going to have to, because I remember my mother doing canning and, you know, with tongs and dipping things into water. And
you did that wax stuff.
Right. And the towels all spread out ready and everybody was all upset. And
do you remember
it was just
the time
this horrible.
We tried to make pickles and it was just, it turned so wrong.
I don't know what happened. First of all, it had mold all over it. And then the glass broke and there was like broken glass and mold. And we somehow had some of the pickles anyway. I don't really know how we saw our way clear to eating
any
of them. But
is not an accurate term.
Well, they were not good pickles, so I didn't win anything by persevering in this. It was pretty bad. My father used to make pickles when I was growing up. When we moved into our house, it was the first house that my parents owned. It was this gigantic Victorian fixer-upper that the town sold them in hopes that they would renovate it. Which
what did your parents name it?
Well, here's a little backstory for it. Well, they decided they were going to renovate the house, first of all. And I remember, you know, my father climbing around and spackling the walls and everything. And he's like not a handy guy, but he brought it up to a certain point. And then he just kind of stopped because, you know, this is a 15-room house and it's falling, you know, it's got the original slate on the roof and everything. And
imagine the house that George Bailey gets.
Right.
It's a Wonderful Life.
But that was like as good as it
gets. That was it. Yeah. Like maybe it didn't drip when it rained so much.
It did drip. Okay. It did drip when it rains. And so they were traveling along the name of the house. They were traveling along and were out in the countryside one time and they saw this beautiful rambling country house all fixed up and, you know, beautiful country gardens outside and everything. And they had hanging outside a beautiful carved sign that had the name of the house and it was called Whispering Hope. And my parents said, well, if we named our house, what would it be? And they both agreed that it should be called Deepening Dread. And that's somebody actually had a sign made. It says Deepening Dread outside the house. They call it.
I knew all of this before we got married.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There was full disclosure on both sides. And we went for it anyway. So this house had something, I don't know if they have this in all parts of the country, but they had a thing called a root cellar because it gets, you know, cold enough that you could basically, this is before it was standard to have refrigeration in houses, and you would keep your food preserved in the winter just by basically burying it in your basement. You would have this sort of crypt in the basement. And we went down there, and there were some pickles in sort of, ghost pickles flew. I mean, there wasn't any electricity down there or anything.
Oh, gosh.
And we moved there when I was about five.
Are there pickles there still?
I believe those pickles are still there.
Wow.
Pickles and lots of books. So anyway, however, This is a long lead up to say that my father did used to make pickles when I was growing up, and they were so good. They would actually make like an audible fizzing sound when you would bite into them, because they were so ridiculously garlicky. They were like illegally garlicky. Like they would like snarl at you when you bit into them. So I still aspire to make these pickles. There was so much stuff in the brine that there was hardly any room for the pickle. It was just, I'll have to ask him how he did it. Anyway, well, I haven't made his dill pickles, but I do make, I do quick pickle things. I'm like quick telling things, which is something I'm not capable of doing. but you put water, you put about half as much vinegar as water, and then, you know, about a half again as much sugar, you know, measuring in cups. So a cup of water, half a cup of vinegar, quarter of a cup of sugar, and maybe a teaspoon of salt. And you can do different kinds of vinegar, and you just slice up your vegetables and you put them in for a couple of hours, and you can put them on sandwiches, you can put them on salads, you can put them on tacos, you can put them on rice bowls. They're exciting and nice. And in the wintertime, you really want something like that. It's bright,
agreed,
and snappy, agreed, and fresh, and it's pickles.
Very good.
Do you have any recommendations?
No.
Oh, come on. It says here that you do, Damien.
I do?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It says that you... Wait, I'm going to signal to you.
Okay, so do this. I don't remember
the same day.
Yeah.
You could be name checked.
Oh, okay. I forgot this was the thing we were doing. Yes, I got name checked, and I do recommend doing this. I got name checked by both Canon 212 and the eponymous flower.
Okay, write this down. Canon 212 and the eponymous flower. If you're not familiar with these two websites, these are not websites which I would necessarily ordinarily have arrived at myself, except that they know me.
They get a lot of mileage out of you.
Yeah, they are super fans.
The
Canon 212 guy is named. He's named almost the same name as the guy who does the Scooby Doo voice. But I can never remember.
And every time
which
I see
which.
His name, I go, "Oh,
like
Scooby!"
Yeah,
and then
no.
I read what he's saying. I'm like, "Oh Scooby!
No.
How could you?
You can't say that about the Pope."
Oh, Scooby's got an issue with the gays.
Oh boy. Yeah, so Damien got name checked by both of them on the same day, and
it was the first time. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know, that was pretty good. And one, because I wrote a story, well, I didn't really write the story, but I put together a story, let me put it that way, where I said, reported in the Union Leader, my Damien Fisher, who is my husband, wrote, and then I quoted him.
Yes.
And
yes.
Some people on Twitter did a little bit of...
They did some detective work.
Yes, and they discovered that you are my husband. They made an issue of it. It was startling.
That was
to them.
Pretty, you know, forget Woodward and Bernstein. These guys, they got it.
I know. I have been trying to hide it for a long time now that we're married, and it's something that I don't talk about, and... I'm not even sure it's true myself, but they found out anyway.
Back to the old drawing board,
I guess. Back to the old drawing board. I don't know. I remember working on this, and I remember thinking, and from here we can go to there. But it says, also they discovered you're my husband, and then it says, Mr. Doodoo Butt.
Hey, come on.
I know. It's
come
kind
on.
Of a theme now, isn't
That's
it?
That's really
the universe
rude.
Is telling
That's
you that
really,
you're...
Well, there was a... tweet about a guy named like Jimmy Doodoo Butt Jones or something getting arrested in some sort of road rage thing. I didn't read the story. I was hoping you would.
No, I didn't read the story because
but his street name was Doodoo Butt.
Doodoo Butt. That's so rough because, you know, you give up so much when you want to have the street, the thug life or whatever, right? I mean, you know, your mother's mad at you all the time. You're never going to work in a daycare or whatever.
You've probably been to jail.
Right. And that's not fun. And you trade it all because you want a really cool street name.
Like Jimmy Four Eyes.
Oh, you wrote about Jimmy Four Eyes.
I did have a Jimmy Four Eyes. That was good.
Did you have? Oh, that was one of the things. I know we're going to get to this later, but Corey did not like in Into the Spider-Verse that we watched today.
Oh, yeah.
She said the pig had four eyes. She didn't like that. She did not appreciate it.
Did not, yeah.
Here, I know what the connection was, Damien. It was, we're talking about street. Oh, they referred to you as Little Damien Fisher.
That would be a good street name, Little Damien.
I guess, except that you're 6'4". And you're not
Well, Little John.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, come on. From Robin Hood?
Oh. Well, I guess.
Man.
I picked up a couple of names from the aforenamed eponymous flower. Was it eponymous flower?
Did he call me a goblin, or was that you?
I think it was both of us. We were
That's awesome.
He referred to the two of us as Bergolian goblins. And I couldn't decide if that was, I like the sound of heretical hose beast.
That was good.
That was a nice one.
Was that because you wrote about like women shouldn't be sexually assaulted by their husbands or something?
I think so.
Something like that.
I think so. That is fairly heretical.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know what a hose beast is, though. It sounds Canadian, doesn't it?
I think you're thinking a hoser beast.
Hoser beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I don't know why you'd be a hoser beast.
I also don't know. Do you want to talk about the movie we watched that we did not like?
All right. So we have like three media.
Yeah, we've been doing some serious watching lately.
Let's start with the movie we did like, which we watched today. We actually went to a theater and spent real American money.
Holy mackerel.
And it was good.
Go ahead. Take 8 kids to the movies and cut three.
This is why we usually drive like an hour to the discount theater. But we didn't today, but it's okay.
No, that one was okay because I was pretty darn sure that we were going to like this movie because everybody likes this movie. I haven't found a single person who doesn't like it.
It's great.
We refer, of course, to the amazing, what is it called?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse.
And after seeing it, I don't know how you take all of that material, the Spider-Man, like everybody knows Spider-Man, and they're taking all of the different weird comic book versions of Spider-Man, which everybody's already seen before, and they made something original with it.
Yes.
And I don't know how they did that.
Well, I mean, they did just the right amount of self-aware, like self-referential self-awareness, where they acknowledge that everybody knows this story, and they kind of made fun of Spider-Man 2 for a minute.
Spider-Man 3 with the dancing.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that was great.
And it was completely charming, engaging, entertaining.
Exciting. Scary when it needed to be.
Yeah, and it was just
gorgeous too.
Beautiful. If you have like a visual trigger migraine, like strobe trigger migraine triggers,
goodness.
Probably don't watch this movie because it's very, very flashy, like literally very flashy. And if there was a little bit queasy at times because there was just so much hurtling through alternate dimensions or what have you.
Yeah, it's just visually stunning.
Yeah, it was. And I do not have a lot of like, for instance, Avatar. I can't deal with it after a while. I'm just like, stop. But it wasn't like this. And it wasn't like that, even though it was just completely outlandishly wild visually. It was just a beautiful movie.
And it's as ridiculous as the whole story is.
Yeah.
Grounded.
Yeah, it was.
And it wasn't
anything profound or anything like that.
Because
it was a comic book. I mean, it was literally a comic book. It was set up to look like a moving comic book.
But it was the best of Spider-Man. And Spider-Man does aspire to something in its own way.
Yeah,
and
there was something very, very American about it. I think it was kind of like the best of American culture.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that was really nice. I think that was really nice to see because, you know, it's we could all use a little reminder of what we're good at as a country, I guess, as a culture.
And the music was terrific.
Yeah,
I thought.
Very nicely matched.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Just well done.
Yeah. It's, all the characters were great. The casting was fantastic.
Yeah.
Just really, and it made me realize how long it's been since I've seen a movie where the goal of the people who made it was clearly to entertain the audience. I don't mind being challenged and I don't mind having to think about things, but I don't like feeling like I'm the enemy of everybody involved in the movie, you know? And that's how you feel really, really often with movies.
Yeah.
And this was just, it was just such a treat. It was just a big ice cream sundae. That's what it was, you know?
It was enjoyable and entertaining and everything you want in a Spider-Man movie and everything you want in a movie. Period.
I mean, it was definitely scary.
It's
don't
too
get
scary
me wrong.
For like, little guys. Yeah,
the 3-year-old, almost 4-year-old found some parts of it quite scary.
Yeah.
I
don't know how our 7-year-old did.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. We have to check in with her. She was fine.
She was fine.
Okay. So, yeah, but it was just, it was great. It was so funny.
Oh, gosh,
really,
yeah.
Really genuinely funny. I mean, there were parts of it where I was, like, embarrassed at how much I was laughing. They did all, they sort of relied heavily, but not too heavily, I thought, on the people looking out of the window and seeing something completely ridiculous going by thing.
It works.
Yeah, it was funny. So highly, highly recommended. It deserves all the hype.
Even if you have to pay full price.
Yeah, yeah. I did not have any regrets paying full price for that. That was pretty. It was good. It was good.
So now we have to talk about the bad.
Mm-hmm.
The bad was very disappointing. Hold the Dark.
Yeah, we had high hopes for it because this is the same people who made two movies that we absolutely loved.
The director and writer made a movie called Blue Ruin, which is a funny, sad take on Hollywood revenge movies.
Yeah.
That has some genuinely terrifying moments.
Yes.
And Green Room, which is...
Oh, I didn't see that, actually.
You haven't seen that one? Yeah. It is a violent monster movie in which neo-Nazis are the monsters. Like, if you don't think of it as like a thriller, it's a it's a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of supernatural monsters, it's neo-Nazis. It's terrific. And then then this looks so promising. It's I kept waiting for this director to get a big movie because I kept saying to myself after those two movies, I'm like, surely I can't wait till he gets a big movie because I can't wait to see what he does with it.
Yeah.
Well, he flopped.
Yeah, it was, and right up until the very last minute, it was promising. It kept your attention. It kept you on your toes.
Yes.
It kept on.
It's gorgeously
suggesting
shot.
Things, and it kept and you kept on waiting for it to be all tied together and mean something, and
whatsoever
it did not
on any level. Nothing is explained. Nothing is like I don't need everything explained in a movie.
We can deal
I'm okay
with some
with,
ambiguity.
Yeah,
and
but
some
there was
open-endedness,
it was
but
just
it wasn't that.
Ambiguity because they didn't know what the story they were telling.
Everything was extremely heavily suggestive, but you know it was the bulldog. It just don't add up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and it's so disappointing because you know we're talking about we've got great actors, a great cast, set in Alaska. With wolves and weird spirituality and a mystery.
And wonderful characters,
part
great
horror,
acting.
Part, you know, but it's a lot of parts and it's a
and
whole lot
yeah,
of
and then it was just like the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold the ending is what they should call it.
Right. Yeah. And we had some theories about what it possibly maybe could have meant, but even if that is what they meant, it just didn't.
It's a big nope.
Yep. Exactly.
Sorry.
All the nopes.
You get,
And
there's no defending it. And it kills me because I really do want to see those guys do a great movie.
Yeah, I think we were like the ideal audience for that because we were certainly ready and waiting to make something out of it.
And they just, it was, I was really mad about it because I really genuinely liked the first two movies.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about it. There were some really interesting scenes in it. I've been mulling it over in my head.
There's a gun battle about halfway through that puts any action director to shame.
Yeah.
And it's a terrifying moment.
It's like one of those novels that if you cut up the chapters and made them as short stories and studied them as short stories, it would be, you know, you could learn a lot from it.
Maybe.
But if you try and put it all together as one continuous work.
It just don't add up.
It don't add up. So.
Anyway.
Pooperella.
It was quite pooperella. So the other bad thing that
we've been searching around for another TV show to watch because we have a bunch of. We sort of ran out of our funny TV shows, and we have a bunch of more serious ones.
You can only watch
30
Rock so many times.
Yeah, in The Office. Well, we've been watching The Sopranos over again, which is great, and we've been watching Breaking Bad, which Damien finished, and I didn't. And those are good, but sometimes you want
something
a short, funny
light.
Thing. Yeah. So we tried Veep, which we had heard good things about, and what's her name is funny.
Julie Louise Dreyfus
is... She's annoying, but she's funny.
She's no Amy Poehler annoying, she's quite good.
Oh, if I won the lottery,
I
would make there be no Amy Poehler.
Oh.
I imagine I could do that with money in some way. But I don't need any.
I just don't care for her.
I don't care for her as well.
But
Veep,
it's done by, it's a bunch of.
How many? We watched what?
We watched two episodes and that was enough.
Yeah.
I usually give a show three episodes.
Yeah.
I can't justify a third. I just can't.
We had some chuckles along the way.
There's some moments, but overall, it just doesn't. It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. I don't know. Maybe it gets.
It's
going
not
after.
Smart enough to be as foul mouthed as it is.
Exactly.
And as mean spirited as it. And
it's made by the same people who did.
In the Thick of It, which is a British political comedy.
Which has the same thing. They're like extraordinarily foul mouthed, just saying the most insanely obscene things you can imagine. Like regularly.
It's, I think the show is just basically you get a bunch of, it has Peter Capaldi and he's great in it. But, and they made a spinoff movie in the loop.
Yeah.
Which is actually smart and funny.
Yeah.
About,
and has yielded two of our families, well, upper level catchphrases. Upper level families
catchphrases. Yeah. There's easy peasy lemon squeezy.
And then he says, no, it's not going to be easy peasy lemon squeezy. It's going to be difficult lemon. Which anytime I say the word difficult, if Clara's anywhere in the house, I just she gets this little look on her face, and I'm like, yeah, it's difficult, lemon, difficult. And then
there's the classic fuckity bye. So In the Loop is terrific.
Oh my gosh.
But the television show that it's based on, The Thick of It, it's okay. It has its moments.
Yeah.
But I can't understand a bloody thing they're saying.
Well, but it seems funnier because it's British, and you think, well, you feel like you're just missing the parts.
I'm missing
that aren't,
the context, right? I'm missing something.
Right.
And so you sort of lend it to them. You make allowances,
and you're like, oh, that's me.
But since the Veep is such straight on, I understand this culture, I understand everything they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to give them, and they don't give me anything back.
this is correct. It's funny. How are we doing on time? I'm not looking at the...
We're way over our usual time.
Yay, way over our usual time. Why don't we just skip the rest?
All right. Well,
hey, how did you like our recurring features? Structured, wasn't it?
We have one more bit we should do.
Oh, the poem? What's my other bit?
No, we have one more bit.
No, we don't. What?
Yeah, we do the stories.
What stories?
Story time. You know, fish tits.
Oh, yes.
Sorry to make you giggle.
Okay. I'm going to save fish tits for another day because I had all these things written out, and it's Sunday today, and I was at Mass, and, I'm kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, and I says to myself, maybe I'll not tell these stories after all.
I'm very disappointed in your spirituality.
I told you I was Catholic when we got married, and you thought it was cute. So we'll wait until I'm less spiritually elevated, and then I'll tell the fish tit story, okay? Right. Is that a deal? Because we know it's going to happen. The wheel turns.
Yes.
The wheel turns round and round. And we come back to fish tits eventually. Do you want to hear a poem?
Yes.
Okay. It's by a poet that I'm not familiar with. I stumbled across him. Somebody quoted him on Facebook today. Named Kenneth Patchen, P-A-T-C-H-E-N. Very interesting. Apparently a self-taught poet, and I like the cut of his jib, okay? It's called The Snow is Deep Upon the Ground. The snow is deep on the ground. Always the light falls slowly down on the hair of my beloved. This is a good world. The war has failed. God shall not forget us. Who makes the snow wait where love is? Only a few go mad. The sky moves in its whiteness, like the withered hand of an old king. God shall not forget us. Who makes the sky knows of our love. The snow is beautiful on the ground, and always the lights of heaven glow softly on the hair of my beloved.
Wow.
That's nice, isn't it?
That was excellent.
I know. I like somebody who just says what there is to say. And it was a very snowy poem. I liked it very much. All right. Well, I don't see any particular need for it, but I suppose I will show myself out.